Hello.
Morning.
There's one piece of hair over here that's driving me nuts. It won't stand in my hat.
Lately, I've been taking my glasses off, and then my hair is just like winging out by my ears, and it's driving me absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's getting to the point where, because normally I do a skin fade and I haven't gotten one lately because I've been busy with other stuff. And it's getting to the point where my hair is getting long enough that it's starting to drive me nuts. So it may get attacked by the clippers in the bathroom. It's gone. Let's see. Give people a few more minutes to join up.
While we are waiting, Tom, can I ask you?
Sure.
Did you manage to make Postman, or you don't use Postman?
I actually use Postman and Insomnia.
Did you manage to make it work with the Eureka connecting to I don't know, something with that is on Eureka?
I have. Let me double check. I mean, I'm getting a tenant exception, but let me double check and make sure that's the right environment. Yes.
It works, right?
It's coming back with and I have to look into this for our Bomi person. But it's coming back with an error that it's not there's no tenant enabled for that one, which I'm not sure why. For some reason, it's not getting tenant ID, but I am getting a response back from the server. But it is an error message.
Okay,
But
yeah, because I talked with another college nearby, they also couldn't make it work. So I wonder if that script that was created for, remember to put in that in scripts, maybe if needs to be updated.
it's
Okay.
possible. I mean, I was looking at it. I mean, unfortunately, so we have somebody from our central IT office push user data into Folio for us, and he was having issues where he couldn't connect and move to the API endpoints with the new Kong API. I was trying to duplicate it in Postman to see if I could get any responses back to make sure that nothing has changed there. And that's when I ran into it. So I was going to look at the script. I didn't see anything offhand where the script was change would need to be changed. It's hitting login with expiry, which is the new login that you're supposed to use for this last version S yeah for Eureka and that. The only thing I'm worried about is there is a tenant variable, but that's being passed as part of the header. And if that might be the issue, if that needs to be changed, I'll poke around in the forms and ask. Piece of hair starting me nuts again. I'll poke around the forms and ask a little bit more too. It might be that the tenant has to be passed as part of the URL string instead of as a header variable.
Okay, if you find an answer, update that script that is on that wiki page. That would be very helpful. But
Please speak for here. Yep, I
you
will do.
have a lot of other things to do.
Yeah, and I also asked Jen here because I know they're playing around with it. I didn't think there was anything else that needed to be changed for the login script, but if it does, it means that more work for our devs. So, but yeah, I'll poke around here and I'll respond back to the Slack channel for you.
Thank you.
No problem. Anytime. All right. So it might just be the five of us. Let me go ahead and start sharing. And we don't have to go for the full hour if we don't want to. Let me show it to my desktop and I'll jump over here. So the last meeting, I said I was going to go through and update the display for the overdue policy. So I did do that. This is currently what I have. I put a big arrow on it for I could find it. This is currently what I have for the mock-up. I changed, removed fine fee and changed everything over to charge, and I removed the collapsible headers, which is currently, so right now we have in our current interface we have these little collapsible headers. I removed all those to the static headers instead. The other thing is overdue charges and recalled items are split out. So let's change this. If you don't mind, I'm going to change this to items with recalls just for consistency. Does that make it sense to everyone?
Yeah, makes sense.
But how does that look? Does any wording seem off to anybody? Is it, does it seem readable, easily readable enough for you?
I think it looks great, and I love the change from fine to charge.
I mentioned it to Kimmy and she's like, whoa, that's a big change. I'm like, yep, but I explained it why, and she's like, that makes sense. Cool. All right. So the last bit that's down here is we have items with recalls, items with holds, and then the reminder charges, a reminder charge. I do, if I remember correctly, look. Where is my window? I have too many screens, so my windows disappeared. There we are. I believe with the overdue fines currently, though. Yes. This item. This item, this item, and this item are currently not active. So I'm going to go ahead and gray those out, unless if anyone has any objections. And that's just because they're kind of there as placeholders right now. So I figured that'll actually kind of match the other pattern we're using with the, oh shoot, the replacement copies. So they're
Yes.
still there, but they're grayed out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nice. So that's it for that one. I will go through and update the form, but I will keep the form basically. It's going to be the same exact form that we have now, just with the new wording. So I don't think we have to walk through that. And with the same kind of like law, business logic that's there. But I will re-update the wording and do kind of the same breakup on the form as well for this. Okay, so let's jump back over here. So that's overdue policy, loss policy. I'm going to, sorry for jumping around like a crazy person. I'm going to jump back here up here to this is the big one. Let's see. Let me get rid of this. We don't need document assets. I kind of get rid of my elements. There we are. Yep. This was the bigger concept of having a fine fee workspace. So this would actually be changed to charges. If we want to kind of keep the same thing. Now, this came to me yesterday. If we change fee fines to charge and charges, is this going to be confusing to people terminology wise because of specifically people coming from like Voyager. I'm not sure what other library management systems where charges are when an item is checked out.
As I just wrote in chat, it's very confusing for translations, and people do the translations and inconsistency across several screens. And would it affect notices because some fee fines or charges are notice tokens as well? And some libraries do translate the notice tokens into their own. What's the right word here? Into their own wording. So, yeah, this would be a change with a lot of work for translators and for discovery programmers, and probably some more.
Right. So, I mean, we can propose the name change with the understanding that it may not be possible, or we can just go back to fee fines, or we could drop the one of the words from fee fines and rethink the whole nomenclature that way. Which direction would be preferred by people? Yes, David.
I mean, I really don't have any strong opinions about this, but so I would say what is easiest for translation would make the most sense. I think consistency is the ideal thing. If you were going to drop fee or fine, it would have to be fine because some fines are fee, you know. There are fees that are not fines, but there is no such thing as a, fines are a subset ultimately of a fee. A fee is any fee is synonymous with charge, right? Fine is
Right.
more specific.
Makes sense. I'm sorry, Olga, were you trying to say something?
It's hard to tell without looking into details. Because about, like, I know in the notices there is, I'm still not clear the difference between charge and there is something else in the notices. So on the surface, it doesn't really matter to me, but how it will affect all the different places, that's my question.
Right. I thanks. I think is this what you're referring to, Cornelia, is this section right here? Because we have fee fine charges and then we
Yes.
have fee fine options. Yeah.
And whatever we set up, it's working, but I'm still kind of, I don't have time to go there and start investigating what is what because it's working, so why worry?
Yeah. And the fee fine charge section, and thanks, I forgot this was in there, is basically the original fee fine information, and then the actions is was it waived, was it forgiven, that sort of thing. So this is tied to when an item is transferred to another account, when a fee fine has been waived or paid or something of that nature. So this is pulling that information. So yeah, if we
So,
wanted to go to, oh, sorry, go ahead.
what I was referring to is the token fee charge type, where you have the different we would have the different charge types, and would they change as well, or would charge just be the replacement for fees and fines, and you would still have overdue fines and whatever, or would they all be charges?
Where is that? So here under the manual charges.
Okay. No, you can.
Cornelia, where is the token that you're talking about located? Like, where would we find that?
Like what Tom just showed in the charge notice, like where it says you've been charged a fee of the type overdue fine. The fee charge type, I think it is.
Oh yeah. So I think what we if we
Mean, the
wanted to
manual,
go, oh sorry, go ahead,
or
Cornelia.
yeah, you can call the manual charges, you can call whatever you want, but the overdue fine and reminder fee and what is their age to lost fee, would that still be fees or would those all be called charges? So you
We
have
would
to.
have to. Yeah, we would have to discuss it, but that probably, if we went with the down this path of changing, dropping fees, fines, and going with charge or charges, we would probably change all of those as well. So
Okay.
it would be instead of loss replacement fee, it'd be loss replacement charge, processing charge. Those would all be changed as well.
So that would really be a lot of work and would have implications on the discovery layers, those that are translated. So, yeah.
It sounds like it'd be more work than it's worth. I don't know. I really like charges, but I don't want to make a ton of work for everyone, and I want it to be easy for translation.
I'm wondering if, so as David mentioned, you said about dropping the dropping fine and just doing fee. For some reason right now, also as I'm looking at this word fee, it does not look right. My brain is saying that's not spelled right because it looks strange. And I don't know
Well,
why.
you have feed and finds in the
That helped. Cool. That's just
middle.
if you're munchy.
That's if you're an agricultural library. If you're a land grant in the
Exactly.
US, then
Yes,
feed and
yes.
fine. It's feed and fines. You can pay by either corn or wheat and or yeah. So I mean that could possibly be the other thing because if a lot of these are referring to, because right now if you look at this is our production system. If you're looking at this, the fee fine charge and the fee fine action, fee is actually being used for all of these descriptors here. And as Cornelius was pointing out, like the lost replacement fee, processing fee is used in the majority of places. So maybe a middle ground would be instead of doing charges, it's just fees. What do people think about that one?
Or maybe just change the app name or wherever it is a heading and leave the single fees alone.
So, yeah, leave
Leave
these
it
things.
at overdue fine and lost item fee and don't change those specific names. But I can take this to the German translation group as well.
Yeah, if you don't mind, see what they think. I'd be fine with that too. And then we just change it basically superficially on the top. So if we were to go down that route, then this would be fees instead of charges, and then we can change this to, whoops. The activities. And sorry about that before my chat window. I had it open, but it got closed, or when I shared screen, it disappeared on me. All right. So what I will do in that case is I will go back to, unless if there's any objections, I will go back down here offline to the lost item policies and the overdue policy and swap out charge for fee. Does that sound good to everybody? Yeah, thumbs up. All right. So. back up to here. So one of the main ideas that I was toying with the whole fee fine thing was creating a new app space for fees and fines. This would be similar to, unfortunately, I can't bring up our system, requests and I'm trying to think what the other one is. Well, we'll just use requests. It'd be similar to requests. So they would have its own space, everything would be done in there, and then it would actually borrow part of the architecture from the new mediated request app and utilize that here. So in the mediated request app, it has a single landing page, like this one here, but then it has a drop down of different functionality that you can do within this app space. And by changing this drop down, it actually changes the center pane here as well as some of your search options. So I kind of set up different ones for some of the different functionality for fee fines. Some of them are more expanded than what we have right now. But I have all those different scenarios set up over here. The biggest one, and this is why I wanted to start kind of chatting about today, is the way currently, and I think that one I can show because it'll be in my account. If you are in, I don't care. If you are in a user account somewhere, hey, look, it pulled up my account right away. And I go down here to requests. I have open and close requests, and these are actually links to the request app. And by clicking on it, it actually just pulls up the request app and does a filter for that username, which right now for us is very slow because we have so many requests in our system. That's the workflow that I was proposing for fees and fines, is to do the same thing. Instead of having it listed directly in the user app, it would be a link to a sub app. And then in the user app, changing the display of the fee fines accordion to a table. Currently, I'll bring this back up. Oh, there it is. Hey, it only took 20 minutes for it to show up. And I can guarantee you, like 90% of these are things that I did for testing in the system and I didn't actually use. currently, fee fines is listed as bullet points with links to a user view. This would switch over to a table view with links, which would then take you back to the fee fines app. And then, depending on what you clicked here, it would pre-filter those fee fines for you. Is there any concerns with that flow or the way things are displayed here in the fee fines accordion? Or any questions why I mocked it up this way?
For example, it has a brochure transfer account and one below it. I can't even see on my iPad.
Sorry.
We don't use, for example, brochure transfer accounts. Will it still show up or will they show up only if they are used?
Only if they were used. So one of the other ideas with this, and I was talking to Kimmy because she saw this mock-up and she was worried that it was anti-pattern, and also the number of buttons up here. So this would actually be dropped. So for this. So the idea behind this table here would be the transfer accounts would be reworked and all of your transfer accounts would be listed here. And then if the person had any fee fines in those transfer accounts, it would show up. So it kind of give you an overview of what we are not seeing right now. So for instance, if I go into my fee fines, anything that has been transferred over to a transfer account won't show up in any summary anywhere. It's just basically you'd have to go through their closed fee fines and see if it was transferred or not. The idea behind this is that as you add transfer accounts, they would actually be added to this table, and then it would track how many fee fines were transferred over to that account and what the total was. So for instance, so in your case, okay, like if you didn't set up a bursar transfer account, it would just show or it would just show open, closed, and then suspended fee fines, which is part of the claims return workflow.
Okay.
And one of the suggestions that Kimmy made was to remove this button here and actually add another button up here that just said all, which was a summary of everything here. So it would just be 7 and then 700. I like using the same number.
I like seeing the break down more than I would like to see all, like she suggested, I guess. I like it like this.
No, all will be in addition to this, right?
Yes, and I
Oh, I see.
can,
Okay.
yeah, and I can mock that up quick. It's just a matter of like, let's see. Okay, yeah, these are these linked together. They are, yeah, I can kind of mock it up quick. So if I do this and move it down here, this would be up at the top, but. And so this would be just this would probably be up at the top instead of here, just to make it a little bit easier. But maybe something of this nature. Actually, you know what I can do? I can do this. That makes it a little bit easier to do this.
I guess I don't have a strong opinion and it can go either way, but I just don't see us using all or needing all. But
I would, so Tom, just to keep in mind, if we ever get to the point where Folio supports credits, that's going to make this more complicated because you're going to have to way have a way of reflecting negative amounts essentially. And then you would have to decide how you are representing that in any kind of tally, right? Like you're not, you know, would you keep that separate entirely, but those credits are going to be for, yeah, just as a context of the all, right? Like they owe $700, but they have a credit for 100. I'm used to seeing it usually in a different color, but I realize that's not actually an excess. That's not an accessible way of showing that something is different, but you'd have to sh somehow visibly show that the credit is, it's not a $100 credit, it's a negative $100, or it's something, you know. Yeah, parenthesis.
yeah.
Just to find a way of distinguishing between those. Yeah, I
So
could
we.
see a benefit in having the all, just because if someone does owe a lot of different charges. So, for instance, you have people who are blocked when they reach a certain amount that they owe, as opposed to like having a lost item. So, if somebody is blocked from borrowing or other things because they owe $100, I guess that wouldn't count towards the. Oh, also, your all doesn't make any sense. I just realized that. You've added $200 in closed fees to an active total, which might be an argument for getting rid of it entirely. And also, I think you would want to, similar to the credits, you would want to find a way of
Thank you for sharing out.
yeah, making it clear that the closed is not something that is act. Because, yeah, when I look at this, I immediately think, oh, they owe $200. which they don't.
Oh, for the all one. So I think, well, let me, the one reason why it came, and we don't have to do the all length. The one idea was, the reason why it was being suggested by Kimmy was to reduce the number of buttons here. Because the idea with this button, if you just said open fees or yeah, open fee, it would take you to this window just filtered by the user. And that's it. So it would show every fee and fine, whether it's open, closed, whatever.
Right, which we need.
Right, exactly. But she suggested adding it to the table so there's not two buttons up here. But if this causes too much confusion or we can't format this in a logical manner, I'm not opposed to having a second button up here. It sounds like this is causing confusion. I guess one of the other ways it could be done is something like that, where it just has an all button here, but visually, I don't know, visually to me that doesn't make sense either.
I mean, if we kept the button, it would need open all fees or view all fees. It shouldn't be open fee. That literally doesn't make any sense.
So let me do that. Let me just get rid of this thing then.
To me, I think the button still is what makes more sense, but I defer to others.
I agree. I like the button. I like the view all fees.
And what about position? Usually the right-hand side is the primary button, the one that people are going to be using the most. Should these be swapped? And we could also change the color of this button too, so that it stands out more.
A little sidetrack here, but will we still have under the actions button in the user record add fee find? That's what, because I do add fees daily, but I always just go to the action menu and do it. I don't go to that button at all.
Of your here
I
actions.
just do create fee
Yes.
find up there.
Yes, that would still be there.
Okay. So really, I don't have a preference. I mean, that's where I do it. I don't go in here and create. I don't even open that, and use that button.
Wonder. So actually that's also another possibility is because we have action create fee find here. Do we need to have the create fee find or create find button or fee button under this accordion?
Get there right now. I mean, personally, I don't think so because I already don't use it, but maybe others, maybe that's their default. Maybe that's where they do go.
Let me see, is there anything I'm looking I think the only other place, so there is create request there, create request up there, so that's duplicated. And then there's notes, but request is the only one that also has it there. If there's no objections, I think what I might do is just drop this new find button. And just do that instead. That way we're only at one. It means request will be a loner, but I think that might be, I think that should be okay. Okie dokie. Any other questions, comments, concerns about anything here? For instance, like the suspended fines with the credits, do that needs to be indicated somehow that it doesn't count against the person's total or even the transfer accounts?
I'm not even sure what is it.
The suspended fines, and actually I'll drop the account part of it. That was me toying with an idea. The suspended fines is when something is claims returned. If there's any fees or fines, it's moved over to suspended, which is.
Didn't we talk about potentially eliminating the suspended thing? Because the way that Folio functions now is it suspends a fee for a claimed item, and then if you are charging the person, it wipes out that fee. It closes that fee and creates a new one. It was intended to unsuspend the original fee. That was the point of suspending a fee. So you would just be like, no, you really do owe this thing that you, and this is the original date. It would seem as though that should be just fixed, in which case then you need suspended fees. But if we wanted to lean into the way it's actually functioning, then I don't see why you should suspend the fee at all. You should just close it. You know, with a note of it's being closed while a claim is underway, and then have the new fee get created at the end of the claim process. Because we've run into a lot of issues where, not a lot, but enough, where either because someone is moving through the system quickly or there's some other thing, like a fee will just hang around and remain there in a suspended state rather than getting closed.
Right.
Then you've got to go in manually and be like, I'm, you know, you have to manually close it out. So that would be an argument for then you wouldn't need to have the list of suspended fees. It's helpful in a perfect world, in my sense. It's more true to say that this fee is suspended while the item is on claim return, and then the fee would be restored. But that is just frankly not how it works.
Right. Actually, I like that idea and that suggestion because you're right. Like, there is that current bug where it does some wonkiness with the suspended fee fines. And it, I know it's ended up being confusing for staff on our side because when they're looking at, sorry, it's on this window here. Come on. Where are you? Come on. Sometimes trying to fish out this window is like, it's confusing to people. What this actually is doing, and if this actually counts against any of the blocks or anything of that nature. So instead of doing that, just canceling the fine altogether, and then if it's resolved in favor of the library, recalculating the fine at that point in time. I guess the question I would have. And I don't want that we can either talk about now or later is I think I'm gonna say think that the reason why they did the suspended was that if you had items with overdue fines, it calculated, I don't know.
No, because those get calculated upon return, so they can't
Yeah.
exist. Reminder fees could exist.
Right.
That is a complication. You're right. And I don't know enough about the logic of that as to how that would work. Like, it prevents anything from accumulating, right? Like, if you return something that's on claim return and you say, we found this, the patron is not responsible, then it just doesn't charge any new fees, full stop. Like, it doesn't calculate overdue fines or anything else.
Right.
If you say the patron has returned it, then it will get rid of anything like a lost item fee that was charged because the thing was lost. And then I believe it would calculate the overdue fines based on the return date and the fee policy, right? Like,
Right.
if it says calculate overdue fines, then it would, you know, then it would do that.
Right, that makes sense.
So
Yeah,
those would only get charged after the fact.
I think the only side complication might be, and I don't think that would matter anyways because you're suspending those, is that if you, I'm trying to remember how it works because we don't use overdue fines. If you have a max overdue fine and an item is declared lost by the system, I believe isn't that overdue fine automatically added at the same time? I believe.
It's not. If it is, that's a setting, because it doesn't do it for us. It's either or. I don't recall if that's possible or not.
I can't either. And for some reason, the only thing that we have overdue fines for is, oh, never mind. Yeah, we don't have any overdue fines.
But here, hold on. Forgive overdue fine if renewed.
I'm not sure if I'm following correctly, but you can have either a lost fee or an overdue fine, not both.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think that's a problem, Tom. In other
Okay.
words.
Mean, and even if what I'm thinking was true, it's still possible for the system to not calculate those fines. If I start moving windows too fast, please tell me. I don't want to make anyone motion sick. I don't think that may. I kind of like this logic better because what I was originally thinking of doing was right now when a fee fine is suspended, it gets thrown into some sort of weird limbo. And I was actually thinking of utilizing the transfer accounts instead for those suspended fines. But I kind of like this idea better of just removing any associated fee fines with the item completely. Is it destroying them all? And it could just be a blanket thing in the system that just says waived or removed for as for claims returned. And then when the claims return is when the claims return is resolved, the system then decides whether or not to add fee fines back to that item and that loan. It feels like the logic would be a lot is a lot cleaner, and the whole workflow is a lot cleaner. Okay, and that also cleans up this table too. I like that. Okie dokie. Any other questions, comments about the patron screen and the fee fines accordion? And again, I'm going to jump back to this whole transfer account thing. Does this make sense, or does this kind of throw people off? And I'll throw the caveat in there is that one of the things I would like to do is somehow add to Folio a way of reporting back if a transfer account has been paid externally, so that this number could potentially go up or down based on those transactions. But I just also don't want to make, I just want to make sure that this isn't confusing to anybody.
Makes sense to me.
It means that the 500 were transferred to bursar, right? And they still have, that's it, open a zero. So,
Yes.
yeah, makes sense to me. We don't use it, but if we were using it, it would make sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Another argument, honestly, against having the all, because it would make sense, but it wouldn't count towards any kind of blocks or anything in Folio itself, because those fees are no longer part of Folio. If I
Right.
understand the transfer, right?
Correct. Yes. Once something is sent to a transfer account, it's kind of the same thing as suspended fines, which is one reason why I was thinking of using transfer accounts for suspended fines. They're
Would it
technically.
should it should it sorry, is
Oh, that's
this
okay.
do you create different do these like Bursar transfer account, does that get created if you use it? So if you're transferring to like a credit agency or something, or does
Yes,
it need to
yes.
be a more generic term?
No, the idea was, and where is it? This section under settings, It's this section here. So for us, let's see, where is it? It's under Olin. We have two transfer accounts, bad debt and CEO transfer. But yes, if you were using an outside collection agency, it would be whatever you put in here. So it's whatever's added by the user. So it could be, in Olga's case, it could be none. So nothing else would show up there. In our case, it'd be bad debt and CL transfer account. If you were using an outside collection agency at Chicago, it would be staff debt collection or student debt collection or something of that nature.
Okay, so as long as it's under the individual control by the naming convention, then I think it's fine. Because I think bursar transfer account is a touch confusing. I think transfer to bursar makes more sense. But like if that's just the name of that particular individual account, then that's perfect, because then you can make sense to your local needs, whatever they are.
I
Yes.
wonder if you transfer, like,
Sorry.
they owe you $500 and you transfer them to collection agency. But they are unblocked anymore. They can borrow.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
That
interesting.
would be so typically the way, I mean, we don't do it this way. We use a collection aid. I mean, they don't deliberately don't call themselves a collection agency, but we use a materials recovery agency that we do not, like, when you're transferring accounts, you're basically selling debt, right? Like for public libraries or some other places, you might actually just say, we're never going to try to get this money back. We're going to sell the debt to this collection agency, and then we get a cut from the collection agency for anything that they manage to, harass people out of. So we don't actually do this at Chicago, but yeah, you would generally tend to do this probably mostly for people who aren't active borrowers anymore, I would assume. I don't know how a public, I would think this would be more of a public library.
No, I mean, we used to use both. So we have the bursar account, and I think that's one reason too, is how they originally spec'd a lot of this around the Cornell's workflows, which we have a bursar account that we can send fee fines to for any active student. And our mindset is that once it goes to the bursar account, it's been paid on our side, because the bursar account will, period, collect it. Because if they don't pay it, it's part of their outstanding bursar debt. So they don't get their transcripts, they don't get their diploma, they don't get anything. It's really funny when you hear a parent yelling at somebody because they have a $25 parking ticket and not getting their diploma. But anyways, so yeah, that I think that's one reason why transfer accounts are set up the way they are, is because our mindset is once it goes to them, they're going to collect the money. In fact, they actually credit Cornell's library's accounts for the money or the debt that we send them. So on the flip side of that is we also have to send them credits to people's accounts. So it's an ongoing relationship back and forth with us, where I will send them, these are all of the charges for Thomas Trutt, and they will try to collect it. And then if that person patron returns items, I have to send them credit notices, so they then credit that patron's account and will actually knock down the debt on their side. We also actually used to use an external, quote unquote, collection agency, which was internal to Cornell. It was actually a section of the bursar office. I'm not sure why my phone is going off, but it is, whatever. It's probably one of those. I've been getting like three or four calls a day about a $70,000 loan that I've been pre-approved for, and all I have to do is give them my social security and banking information, and they'll be able to send me the funds right away.
Yeah, so lucky.
Yeah, I know. I who can't use an extra $60,000-$70,000? But we used to use an external collection agency, and I've actually kind of worked some of that into here, and talking with Joey and a few other people that use external collection agencies, they actually will charge You could do it one or two ways. You either sell the debt to them at a discount, so you get they will buy a let's say $1,000 worth of debt for $900, and then you have to record that $100 loss on your side, but the debt is now no longer yours. You actually got paid out for it. Are in ours, and I believe Spokane is this way, is when you transfer it to the collection agency will add a processing fee on top of the original debt. So in our case, it was 25%. So if we send a $1,000 debt to them, they add another $250 to actually collect the debt. When the debt is collected, we get the $1,000 and they keep the $250 for their time and effort. And normally once it gets sent to the collection agency, we very rarely credit the account back. There has been circumstances, but the processing fee is still usually owned by the patron. If the library decides to waive that processing fee or that debt collection fee, we actually have to pay for it out of pocket. So it gets really weird and complicated. I went off on a tangent there. That's one weird reason why these, I think, transfer accounts don't count against blocks or anything else, is because they're kind of considered not the library's problem, they're somebody else's problem. But that could also change too. People might decide that some transfer accounts should count against people's blocks. But
Yeah,
next.
I see. Yeah, we don't we they are blocked because we don't use that. We just block them manually in Banner, and they cannot do anything like register or anything until they return the book. And that's what usually happens. They just return the book. It's not that they actually lost it. It's just
Yeah, that they just don't want to return
yeah.
it. Yeah, it's honestly the same thing with us, but it's just more automated. We send it all to the bursar, and because it's part of their outstanding bursar bill, they're not allowed to register or go to classes or pick up classes until that bursar bill is resolved. So it will usually result in them bringing a whole bunch of books back, me sending credits to the bursar account, and then them lifting the block up there. But we actually don't have the authority to block individual accounts. We can just send fee fines to the bursar. But anyways, we are actually about 10 minutes or about 8 minutes away from the top of hour. So I'm going to go ahead and stop there. I will go through and rework some of this to drop out the fines part.
Just
And
one
then,
question.
oh,
What
sure, go ahead.
happens? What happens when you click on open or close? Are you going back to that fees app?
Yes.
Okay.
So clicking on open, close, or anything of that nature is going to drop you into this app here. And what it would do is it would pre-populate the search here with the UUID of the user that you are currently viewing, and then pre-select
Okay.
the fee fine type down here.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm kind of curious about, and this can be for next time, is I want to talk more. I want to get more into this about the what items could should be displayed in the table view, and then the detail pane down here when you click on one of those items. But I'm also kind of curious what people's thoughts are on the fee fine owner. If this is something they really use, or not. Actually, we do use it, but yeah. But anyways, we have 5 minutes till 12, so I'm gonna let everybody go early. So have a great weekend.
Thank you, Thomas.
Yep, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate your help.
Bye.
Yeah.